everyone. You're listening to Patio Talk Pod,
where we believe everyone has a story.
And we want to share it.
I'm David.
And I'm Cindy.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back to Patio Talk Pod, week two of our adoption series. November is National Adoption Awareness Month.
Woohoo!
So we just want to do that. We want to make you aware of adoption.
It's Adoption Awareness Month. Something near and dear to our hearts.
Near and dear. Absolutely it is. We're going to do that in a couple of ways. We're going to let you hear stories from people who have been impacted by adoption. And we're going to share some things to not say and things you can say. And if you're an adoptive parent out there, you have heard those things that people really shouldn't say. We're just trying to help others out because a lot of people don't mean anything bad, but they still say bad things. Several years ago, when we decided to adopt, we were surrounded by many people who either had adopted or
were in the process. Yeah.
In the process of adoption. And it was really a larger group of people that we found. And you become close because you're going through the same thing. You share something in common. So we were really blessed by that.
Because the process is like, hurry up, wait, hurry up, wait, hurry up, wait. And having someone that's been through it or going through it with you to encourage you along the way is huge. It was really huge for us to have that community around us.
Absolutely. If you know of people who are adopting or in the process or just starting and they don't have that community, please help them, encourage them, get in contact with other people who are in that process, because you're going to need some help, emotional help, if anything.
Yeah, and especially in today's society with social media and so many, you know, internet avenues, there are groups that you can join, support groups, and especially today in today's society, there are lots of support groups that you can find online through different avenues, the different platforms. And so there's a way, if you don't have anyone locally, you can at least reach out to the cyber world and get some encouragement and some help and articles, things to educate yourself, to help educate family as you're going through the process. That's really important, I think, for your family to understand.
They're usually the ones that say the things that they shouldn't say.
True. It's very true.
It's because they're not educated.
Exactly. And there's so many things that could be a whole nother podcast to talk about in that area. But I think it is important to not just educate yourself, but educate your family and your close friends that will be involved in your adoption process.
Yes. We've been fortunate enough to be involved or close to several people who recently have adopted. The story you're going to hear today is from a couple who we just got to be blessed to watch walk through their process, be a part of their lives and see this. And we're so thankful that we had the opportunity to do that. So you're going to hear from them shortly. We want to go over a couple terms with you or a couple terminology that just want you to be educated about. The first one is this notion of someone, a mother gave up her child. The mother placed her child for adoption.
She chose adoption. One of the most selfless acts that a mother and a father can do.
Adoption is born out of trauma. So another thing to not say to the child is, you're so lucky to have your parents. Speaking of their adopted parents, we've heard that a lot.
Or, he's so lucky to have you guys.
It's well-meaning, but you have to think, any adoption is born from trauma. At any age, even a baby who is put into their adoptive parents' arms, there's still trauma there. It will be. And older children that are through the foster care system or who are in orphanages, there's trauma there. They're not lucky that they had to go through the trauma. In all honesty, us as adoptive parents are the lucky ones because we get to love on these children for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
And then the last one we want to say is, do not say this, especially in front of the child. Please do not say this.
I think the biggest thing to point out here too is, do not ask questions in front of the child. Do not make statements in front of that child. If you are curious, which is a natural thing as a human being to be curious, but know how to politely ask and maybe pull the parent aside and ask your question and make it known that you're trying to be gentle in what you're wanting to ask, that you're just curious and would like some education to help soften whatever you might ask, just in case you might ask it in a way that doesn't sound appropriate or loving doesn't show your intention. So I just wanted to add that before you go into this next part.
Do not say, how much did they cost?
Never, ever say that.
Never. Especially in front of the child. Especially if you are genuinely curious of the cost of adoption, because it may be something that you are considering. Please ask it that way. We're considering adoption. What are the costs involved?
Yeah.
But never say, yeah, how much did the child cost?
Because it's not the child with the price tag. It's paying for the process. You're paying for the paperwork. You're paying for the person that is reviewing and processing the paperwork. You're paying for fingerprints. You're, you know, paying for certifications. So many, you're paying for flights or hotels or different things like that. Depends on what the adoption looks like. You could be paying for healthcare for the birth mom. So many different things involved.
The last time we checked, hospital bill or a midwife bill is pretty expensive.
Yes.
With the biological parent. So please don't ask that question. That is just one that's just a no-no. Don't ask it.
Yeah.
Let's go on with something positive. Let's get to a wonderful interview that we had with our good friends, Jake and Christina. And if you're lucky, you may get to hear a little bit of their pride and joy in this interview. We are here with two great friends, Jake and Christina. They decided to join us this afternoon, and you may hear a little rocking going on in the background. We've got a little one that's being rocked to sleep as we speak. So if you hear a small child, then just smile and know that she's about to go to La La Land, and it's all going to be okay. How you doing, Jake and Christina?
Not too bad.
Doing good.
Thank you guys for joining us for our adoption month. We are so excited to have you here, and we've been super excited to watch your journey. And we just want our audience to get to know you a little bit, because we already know you, but we want the folks to get to know you. So Cindy has a few questions that she's going to grill you, ask you about.
What are we grilling?
Yeah.
Hamburgers, hot dogs, steaks, baked potatoes. Okay, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you an Instant Pot or Crock Pot?
Oh, Crock Pot for sure.
Instant Pot.
Could have guessed
that. I've seen a theme with male, female.
Yeah, no, I don't think we've had it reversed, have we?
Maybe one. Okay. Maybe one or two.
Who's the free spirit and who's the nerd?
Oh, I'm definitely the nerd.
No, I'm the nerd.
No. Not when it comes to academically being a nerd.
Okay, academically, yes. Okay. But, like, pulp culture-wise,
I'm a nerd. But I'm definitely not a free spirit, though. I'm a planner.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Okay. So, rock concert or Broadway musical?
Can I have both?
Yeah.
Do a
rock opera?
Green Day made a musical, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Can we do a rock opera that's both together? So.
Yes. We'll have to mix those both. None of those can...
But if I had to choose one rock concert?
Oh, I don't know. I guess rock? Probably rock.
Okay.
That was a tough one.
I was totally expecting at least one to say only Broadway musical. All right. How long have you been together, and how many of those years have you been married?
We've been married 8 years.
He was so fast.
So let's see, 2010. So going on 11 years.
Who asked who first?
I asked us if we were dating, and then I asked if we were getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who asked who out?
Oh,
she tricked me into our first date. So
that is actually
story
very
time.
True.
I'm a big Scrubs fan, the TV show.
Oh.
And this is back before streaming services really took off. So I bought all 8 seasons on DVD, because we don't count the 9th season. It was awful. And I was bragging about it on Facebook. And she was like, oh, I love Scrubs. Let's get together and watch it sometime. And I was like, okay, great. Let's do it after we had, I think we both did theater, so that's probably why you expected the Broadway, totally. The Broadway question. But so we were both in a show, and it was going to be after that show we were going to get together, and then we watched the whole
DVD.
Disc of it, which is probably like 2.5-3 hours of Scrubs.
Needless to say, later, don't she, like Scrubs.
She hated Scrubs, and she just suffered through it so she could go on the first date.
Oh, wait.
So you don't like Scrubs.
I did not at the time. I now have appreciated it for being our first date and that it makes him so happy. There are still times I look at it and I go, this is kind of dumb. But that's okay.
I think that's what those shows are supposed to be about. Yeah. Yes, this kind of
dumb. I don't do dumb comedy, though. Like, give me something of substance.
Very interesting. Who said, I love you first?
Oh, that was definitely me. And I got back a cool. It was almost like a Han Solo moment there. Yeah. But he made up for it. He said, I love you for the first time on the top of the Empire State Building, actually, a couple months later.
Wow.
That is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Was it one of those, like, you know, affair to remember? I'll be at the top of the Empire State Building.
He's not that romantic.
Okay.
No, I just didn't feel like saying
or like
it at
Sleepless
the time.
In Seattle. They do that.
I just didn't feel like saying it at the time. I just wasn't there yet. And so I was like, a few months later. So, okay. In fact, it was like 6 months later. Because she said it in July. And we were in New York for Christmas. And I was like, I guess I could say it now.
Okay. So I have a follow up question then to this. So Christina asked you out first, basically tricked you onto first date. She tells you she loves you first, but you wait basically 6 months for him to tell you he loves you back. So did you have that like awkward moment of like, why did I tell him that?
Oh, yeah. And I think that summer was actually like, it was a very rough summer where it was like the verge of breakup. But at that point, I think we're just both too stubborn. We're like, nah, we're sticking this out. We got this.
100%.
Yeah.
Not giving up now.
I'm invested.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you didn't give it up. Okay, so did you talk about what you hoped for your family to look like as you led into getting married?
I think so.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It's been so long ago now. It's not, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that long ago, but it seems long ago now.
I'm sure
we did.
Yeah, we both knew we wanted kids, and we both knew, actually, and this is something we loosely talked about, but we both have cousins that are adopted, so we knew that was something we wanted to do. We didn't think it would be our first. We thought we would adopt later on.
We'd always thought, maybe foster care in the future, or something that we could do to help kids who needed a home and needed a loving family.
Yeah, my family does a lot of mission trips to Ukraine, so I always thought it might come out of Ukraine, but it didn't yet.
We haven't ruled it out yet.
Let's walk through what made you decide to adopt now.
Well, that stemmed out of years of trying to start our family. We went through the infertility treatments, not up to IVF or anything like that.
When we first got married, anyone who has met me knows that I like to have a lot of fun and I can be a little immature.
We can attest.
So I thought I needed to mature a little bit more before having kids. So we waited 2 years before we started trying. And then once we started, we had a lot of difficulty. So then we started in with an infertility specialist. We found out that you had PCOS, mm-hmm. Which could make it difficult, not impossible. And going through all that, we did some shots. I don't remember what mm-hmm. they are, but shots, some different medications, things like that. And it just wasn't working. Then after 3 years of that, we found out we were pregnant by surprise. We actually weren't.
That was without all the shots and everything like that. So
it was surprised.
There was no outside factors, right? There was no shots.
There was nothing.
Because I had just moved across the country. I had lost my job and moved across the country.
And I didn't follow till 6 months later.
Yeah, so we were apart for 6 months. So that may have had something to do with it when she returned. is about the timing of that. I'll leave that up to people's imaginations.
We've got an imaginative. People have a great imagination.
But then how many weeks did we make it with that?
We made 22 weeks.
22 weeks. And then we lost a little girl. And we both took that pretty hard. That's when we started having the conversation about adoption. We differ on where the idea really came from. I distinctly remember a conversation with her brother. She thought it was awkward because he called and was like, you know, we would support you guys if you guys adopted and we would like to help you financially or anything like that. She doesn't remember that conversation, yeah. But I do. But so we differ on where the conversation started.
But I know we had to have a lot of conversations too, where, I mean, I definitely took the loss of our little girl very, very hard. And I was to the point where I was like, I don't know if I could go through that loss again. I just...
It was tough.
It was a very tough time. I had a lot of questioning, a lot of why, a lot of anger about it too. Just, you know, after all this time, why did this happen?
And that was a big reason we didn't do IVF is because we didn't want to go through the loss and then the financial burden of
a chance.
Because IVF is not guaranteed by any means.
Right.
And so then we started looking into the adoption process. We wanted to figure out if it was going to be the right thing for our family, the right time for our family. Jacob's staring down at the daughter like, yes, it was the right time. It's perfect.
Cool.
We just really, I mean, we sat on it for, 6 months or so? Just kind of thinking.
Yeah, it was... about 6 months, and then I actually sat down with the church we were going to at the time. I sat down with the pastor, Tom, and I had a conversation. It's like, did he know anybody in the church that had gone through that? And he introduced me to Mystery and Connor, some friends of ours, and then to you guys as well, mm-hmm. knowing you guys had gone through it. And we all got into a small group, and that's really when it kind of kicked off for us. Mystery helped us a lot getting started on paperwork, and mm-hmm. they were going through adoption assistance at the time. I don't know if that's what they end up finishing with, but got us hooked up with them, which is a limited placement agency. And that really got the ball rolling, and we never looked back.
Well, that's a lot. So let's process some of that. When you got pregnant, how many years have you been married?
We've been married 5 years.
And so you went through 22 weeks. Did you experience any pain, any troubles? Was there anything to lead up to ultimately what happened?
Almost from the day we found out we were pregnant.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of struggles, and it was a lot of trying to advocate to the doctors like something's not right. Unfortunately, we had a doctor who I don't feel really took my concerns seriously until close to the end.
We had a tear in the placenta, if I understood it right. And so she had constant spotting, and that really shouldn't have been anything to trigger a miscarriage. Apparently, it's fairly common. Requires bed rest, but she did rest and slowed way down. Stopped doing just about everything, but going to work. Which she had. Doctor was like, "Yeah, that's fine. Just nothing else." It just never seemed to recover. And then it was on Thanksgiving. You were in a lot of pain, and that's when we found out the next Monday that her water had broke over Thanksgiving. That was at 21 and a half weeks. Her water broke, and she made it about another half a week, and then we miscarried.
I know that was devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Can't imagine.
It was very tough, but we're also very stubborn people, so we very much... just fought through it, and we gave into it a little bit on the depression side, but I would not let her completely give into it, and I just kept on her. And then when I would get down, she would keep on me about, mm-hmm. you know, we're in this together, we do this together. So it worked out in a way. We were never both down at the same time. Always one of us was having a good day when the other was having a bad. So we balanced each other out, and we're both stubborn enough not to let the other one suffer.
I think the hardest thing for us was actually talking about it, like talking to other people, because we had each other and we could lean on each other. But the biggest thing was being able to communicate with someone, because, I mean, you get so excited. Like, we had already had out like a, hey, we're having a baby in April. Oh, look, we're having a girl. And so we had all this stuff that we, and then you have to go back and tell people, like, we've lost, you know, our child, and having to have those conversations and then coupled on top of that, when you are, because we were, what, 29, 28, 29 at the time?
Yes.
And so then you have all the well-meaning people who are like, well, when are you guys going to have children? When are you going to have a family? And all that kind of just builds upon itself, and you just kind of want to keep it quiet because not a lot of people do talk about infertility and child loss, when I found that it's a lot more prevalent than I ever imagined that it was. I mean, through our loss, we've realized that we have many friends and many people who we're just acquaintances with who have lost children, who have struggled with infertility, that we never would have known had we not said anything about it. So,
well, perfect example is we didn't like to do activities where little kids were present. So recent events, Trunk or Treat was here recently, and we didn't sign up to do it at our church. Because it's something we've always avoided in the past. A bunch of little kids running around in costumes. We didn't want to be around that. Well, now we have a little girl. We were still going to sit at home. And someone from our church reached out to us like, did you guys mean to not sign up? And we kind of last minute got a, picked up some costumes and decorated a trunk. And we had a blast. But it's still a mental challenge for us to think, oh, we can do that. You know, it still does. It's a thing that still can hurt a little bit, but, you know, we have to realize we have a little girl now that we can go do these fun things with, and we can't miss out on these moments.
And I think it makes us very conscious, too, about others who are going through it. Like, I know for me, Mother's Day was always a huge struggle, and so I'm very conscious now about being respectful to those women who are going through what I've gone through and just making sure that I'm lifting them up when they need me, because I know how important it was for me.
That is definitely it. When you share your story, it will typically lead into hearing other people's stories. At that point, you can go, okay, we're not alone here. One of the entire things about our podcast is we want people to know that you're not alone. And that's why we share the stories that we share. So we thank you guys for sharing that story. I know that just knowing you guys, I know that the struggle that you had with it, and just watching you guys flourish as you've bounced through it. I'm not going to say out of it, but bounce through it, has been amazing for us to get to see. And so let's talk now about the little bundle of joy that's sitting in Jacob's arms as we talk, or laying in his arms. When you guys decided to go forward, and like you said, our group was meeting together. It was a group full of people who had been touched by adoption.
Coincidentally, I might add on that too.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't planned at all. And that's just how great God is to mold us together like that and bring us together in community. So I just want to go back and say too, like, I think it's proof of God doesn't waste our pain for you guys to be able to go through it and be able to share your story with others that are, you know, in pain to help them grieve their process. I think that's great when we can get to a point to do that, because it is hard. You have to be vulnerable. You have to experience those emotions again. So I think it's very bold to do that as well. And so I think that's a great part of your story that you're able to do that.
So now we sit in the wonderful year of 2020. And I know a lot of people talk about how horrible 2020 has been.
2020 is a great year. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think so too. And this is why.
It's a great year to be born.
Yeah, it is a great year to be born. Out of our group, we now have three families who have adopted and finalized in the year 2020. So it's a fantastic year. Mm-hmm. But we're talking specifically about you guys. Let's talk about what happened when you got the phone call.
Well, first off, I got the phone call. But it has to be known that my wife did almost all of the legwork, because I'm not a paperwork person. So
she handled the pregnancy.
Yeah.
The
paper pregnancy, yes.
But no, so.
So he got the phone call. I immediately got a phone call from him afterwards. And he was almost incoherent. because he was just shouting, you know, we were picked. And so then from there on, it's just a whirlwind. At that point, I'm teaching during a pandemic. So I had a Zoom call scheduled with my kids. I had to text them all and be like, guys, I am so sorry. I'm going to have to cancel on you right now. I will Zoom you guys when I, you know, when I get to another state. But for right now, I was like, go have fun. And I just started shoving things in bags, like not even knowing what to pack with us.
We didn't have anything. We didn't have a car seat. We didn't have a pack and play. We didn't have a clue. And our friends had just gone through the same thing over Christmas. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we did in the car is we called them. It was like, you guys just had to travel across the country to pick up your baby. What do we need to do? And they got on. We gave them access to our Amazon account, and they put us a registry together. And then our neighbors, I had mentioned something to them that we were going to be out of town for a while, and I had a friend coming over to watch Chewy, so not to be concerned when they saw a random vehicle over there all week or a random guy walking around. And they're like, "Well, what's going on?" And I was like, "Well, we're headed to Cincinnati. That's, you know,
we got matched."
And they're like, "Well, is there anything you need?" Oh, wait, I have a car seat. You guys can have it. And so that's how we got our car seat. And then we get there and we didn't know, because this is COVID had just started and everything was shut down. In fact, Ohio and Kentucky were almost completely shut down. Hotels were blocking capacity at like half or a quarter level. I don't remember. And everything was still new, so we didn't know what to expect. You know, there was still in the early days of COVID, so you didn't know necessarily how it was spread, how contagious it was, and we found out it's still fairly contagious. But I had, oddly enough, my preschool teacher, who was my neighbor growing up, you know, through school, she had moved to Cincinnati because her daughter lived there and worked at one of the hospitals. So we called them, and I was like, do you know of any good places we could stay?
And she goes, our house?
Yeah, she goes, I'll give you my house for the week or as long as you need. She goes, my daughter lives across the street. I'll go stay over there and you guys can have the house. And it's all yours.
So I have a question. How long had it been since you had talked with her?
It had been at least...
Your parents had been...
Yeah, my parents...
Still stay in touch, though.
Yeah, they stayed in touch. But probably talking to her had been 3-4 years easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm imagining my head's been like 20 plus years since you've talked to her and you're calling up like, hey.
No, because she was our neighbor where I grew up. But because I had grown up and they were my neighbor, there was always, I would go knock on the door, you know, selling Boy Scout popcorn or things like that. So we had stayed in touch. And then when my parents...
You got to keep those prospects. You know,
you gotta keep
going. Be nice to your teachers.
And then, you know, my parents, as they were selling our place where we lived, she was selling her place. So they stayed in close contact and they would come visit my mom and dad when they moved to Kentucky and she moved to Cincinnati. So there was still that fairly close relationship.
But still, 3 or 4 years not to hear from someone and suddenly you're getting a phone call and then to be a part of such a fantastic story that had to be over the moon thrilled.
They had been heavily involved in our fundraising too.
Okay.
So they knew the process we were going through. So they were ecstatic whenever they found out. And it was funny. Originally, they were like, we're going to stay away. We're not going to come over. We don't want to. We know you have to go into the NICU. So we don't want to contaminate the area.
And we were like, no. We are stressed. We are overwhelmed. Please come and distract us.
Please come keep us company. Because of COVID, I was not able to go into the NICU, which NICU already has strict rules about who can go in and out because of the baby situations that are in there. But because of COVID, it was limited to two only. I think even after that, it went down to just one. But so I did not get to hold Miss Adeline until the Sunday. She was born on Friday, and I didn't get to hold her till Sunday. But Christina actually was able to hold her on Friday when she was born. So we've been with her since day one. But yeah, it was a whirlwind trying to get there. My Sue is my preschool teacher's name. Sue had surprised as she had a pack and play for us and had all this stuff.
She had all the things that we didn't think of, like laundry detergent, clothes, bottles. And I mean, they were running out, like finding different bottle nipples that we think might work for her when we were trying to get her to feed. And
yeah, her son-in-law worked at, manages a CVS. I think it's CVS or Walgreens. I don't know. But one of those, you know, major pharmacies. And so he had access to the store, even though the store was shut down. He was like, no, I can go in and get what you need. You know, you just let me know. And it was crazy. It was not ideal.
It was overwhelming, though, just how everything lines out so perfectly, where everything that you need just seemed to be there at the right time.
Oh, when we got home, I got a call from our friends who set up the words. I'm not wording right now.
The Amazon account.
Yeah, thank you. I got a call from our friends who set up the Amazon account saying that everything had been purchased. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. She goes, no, like, we need more. Like, she goes, give me your dream items. Like, what are some things you want? So we started putting things like video baby monitors and stuff like that on there just because we knew people wanted to help. And we're kind of thinking, okay, well, we've gotten, you know, diapers and things like that.
We've been so fortunate. I mean, the love and generosity just
It was amazing. We got home and our living room was just full of Amazon boxes. It was amazing. It brought tears to both of our eyes, mm-hmm. just the generosity that people had poured out on us. And
even before that moment, I mean, throughout the entire process, because it was a 2-year process, I mean, walking through all the paperwork, all the waiting, and just people who were there for us and supporting us through fundraising, through mm-hmm. praying, through just being an ear to let us vent to when we were stressed and just ready for everything to happen right then.
And another thing, we had just felt the calling to move to a very small church plant that had started up, and we had only been going there. She was born in March, so we had started January, so 2-3 months,
and pandemic,
so church was shut down. But everything was shut down, and we were just slightly shy of the number we needed to finish all the legal work to process the adoption. And we were really worried about where that last little bit was going to come from. And then we get a call from the pastor, and it was right at the time we needed it the most, too, because we were just starting to stress out. We had just been discharged from the hospital. Waiting for paperwork to go through to clear us to come home.
He calls. Which, when you're going through the process, you don't know when you're going to get to come home. It mm-hmm. could be soon. It could be a couple months. It just all depends on the processes and everything. So we were fully expecting to be in a hotel room for, you know, another week or two. Mm-hmm. So,
but he called us and was like, we want to bless you guys with a gift. And it was almost to the dollar amount, the amount we needed to finish everything and tie up all the loose ends to get us through it. It was amazing. It brought us both to tears.
So how would you say this process grew your faith?
For me, it was learning to let go, which I'm not good at. I'm a very type A personality where I get my ducks in a row and then I want it to happen right then, right there. My patience was truly tested to just wait and know that there's a reason behind everything. I don't know what that reason is, but I'll find out soon enough. And we really had to, I mean, again, lean on each other. I mean, because not only, you know, even though it was a year and then 2 years and 3 years after the loss of our daughter, I mean, we're always going to deal with that. I am always going to have those moments where I grieve her loss, and I don't expect to ever lose that. It doesn't mean that I'm not grateful for having a daughter now. But at the same time, I mean, she was our child, and it's just very hard through that. So we had to lean each other up through that. And then I'm getting, you know, stressed in the process, just going, because you sit there and wonder, well, why are we not chosen yet? What makes us not good enough? And you go through those doubts of, you know, what should we be doing differently? What would make us a better person? And through the process, you realize it's not about you not being good enough. It's about God has a plan for a child that is meant to be in your family. And I mean, we couldn't have asked for a more perfect little girl to just make us realize all the joy that there is in life.
For me, it was going through the process is, why are we going through this? Why am I being put through this turmoil, this waiting, this season of doubt? And for me, it really came full circle this week when we sat down with some friends who have an eerily similar situation to what we're going through or what we went through, and just talking to them, and felt good to be able to tell them exactly every feeling that I had and to be able, like, okay, this was, no, I already had that thought. Nope. You're not asking me questions I didn't already think about. I had every one of these doubts. I had every one of these questions. I had every one of these fears. And they kept asking us questions. And I was like, nope, we thought about that. Nope, we had that thought. Nope, you're not catching us off guard. Nope, that's not too personal, you know. And it was liberating. I don't know if that's the right word.
It's nice to pay it forward.
Yeah.
To be able to help someone else.
And we can give that guidance, just like you guys gave us guidance on going through this, of this is what to expect. This is going to shortcut it for you. This is what you want to look for. This is
the roller coaster of emotions that you're going to feel no matter how hard you try not to have the roller coaster of emotions. Like, it's okay. You're not alone.
Well, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming when you first look at starting the adoption process. It's so overwhelming. You don't know where to begin. We didn't. And if it wasn't for you guys and other friends, we wouldn't have known where to start. And, so to be able to tell them, no, start here. Let's get your home study done. Let's get you home study ready. And even if we don't finish all the paperwork for the home study, that's going to prep you for this next step, which is picking an agency. Because most home studies, at least the paperwork, is similar. So once you gather all that information, you know, now we can get you into this. And then we can pick an agency. Or do you want to go private? Or do you want to go international? Or, you know, and we don't know much on the international side, but... You know, we know people. We know you guys have adopted internationally. So we have those resources. And to be able to answer questions, the husband of this couple, he had a lot of great questions. I was able to answer them. And he was like, you mean you already thought about this? I was like, no. I mean, I think anyone who goes through adoption is going to have these questions and these mm-hmm. doubts. And they're questions you don't ever really think about. Or when you do think about them, you sometimes... You feel bad. Like one question that, you know, I originally, when we first started this process, was bonding. Am I going to be able to bond with a child that's not biologically mine? And the more and more I thought about it, Christina and I are not biologically related, which is a good thing because we're married.
Right.
but I love Christina unconditionally. And if I can do that with my wife, then why not with my child? And from the moment I told this gentleman I was talking to, I was like, trust me, the moment you're matched and you see your child's face for the first time, it was instant for me. I mean, there was no question that's my daughter. This is my, and I mean, I can remember sitting in the hospital and just studying every line and every bump and every hair on her head going, this is my child. And all of those doubts were put to rest. Like, and I think they're natural. And I don't, and the one thing I kept saying is, to our friends was, don't, when you have these thoughts and these doubts, I go, that's not you. That's the enemy creeping in, trying to stop you from doing a good thing. I go, it doesn't make you a bad person for having these doubts. I go, that's just something pushing against you. I was like, call me when you have these doubts. I go, I can walk you through what I did, what helped me. And I was like, trust me, the moment the process is over, You'll laugh at those doubts.
Yeah, no doubt. So you said doubt, so it made me say doubt.
No doubt was a good band. Great.
Yeah, I really like that band. But let's go back to what you just said about having the questions and the doubts. Something we heard the pastor say a couple of weeks ago was that God can handle your doubts. He can handle your questions. No question is going to take him off guard. No doubt's going to take him off guard. He's there. He's prepared. he knows it, right? Let's talk about, you brought up bonding and how instant it was. So I just got to ask, did you study her pinky?
No, I didn't study
her. You should have, because you wrapped all around it.
So. Oh, that
but that's
here.
Perfectly natural. Perfectly yes. natural. Christina, how's bonding been with you?
I think for me, it took me just a little bit longer. I almost felt like a caretaker just for a little bit, just because I didn't have, you know, that 9 months of your typical maternal bonding. But I mean, even as, I mean, Jake will point out all the time, just the way that she'll smile when I come in the room, or she'll just look at me or track where I am when she hears my voice. Makes me realize, like, she depends on me. I am mom. I am one of two moms that love her dearly. And, you know, I hope that I can, you know, be that good role model for her.
Well, we've got to witness you with her. So
yes, you are the most patient mama I have ever seen. It's a beautiful thing.
So I know we've covered a lot, and we thank you guys for sharing your story. I've got two more questions for you. One is, for that couple that's going through, right in the middle of what you went through, what would you say to them right now?
It's worth the wait. Don't get frustrated with how long the process takes. It's worth it. If I had to wait, you know, 4 years for this little bundle of joy, it's worth it.
For me, and I've already said this to him once, and it's very cliche, but it rings true, is as you're going through the situation, there's nothing God's going to throw at you that you can't handle. And it's so cliche sometimes to say that, but being on the other side of it now, I can say that with confidence, is he's not going to give you anything you can't handle. It may seem like the weight of the world is on your shoulders as you're going through it, and everything's working against you. And the paperwork is frustrating. There's nothing you can't handle if you've got the.
Just like going back to your, you know, when you got the call, you're surprised, you're caught off guard. There's so much, and you were sharing how everything fell in place. That's because it didn't catch God off guard. He wasn't surprised. He had a plan, and you know he knew things would be taken care of. And that's what I think is something beautiful that comes out of an adoption journey, is learning to trust in him and see him keep his promises, that he doesn't forsake us and he will see us through.
I'll say this. We had someone tell us this many years ago. Now that you're on this side of adoption, we get a special glimpse of something that some people don't get to see. When you are adopted into the family of God, you get a little glimpse of what the Father sees by being an adoptive parent. Because like you said just a few moments ago, there is no doubt she's your daughter. None. And when God sees us, there's no doubt you're his son and you're his daughter. Now, last question we ask this of all of our guests on our show.
Okay, so choose a patio anywhere you'd like and tell us who your patio guest would be.
That person can be dead or alive.
Going to the mountains.
So I'm going to Belize. I'm going to sit on a patio in Belize overlooking, what was that resort that we looked at going to? Sleeping Giant?
I think so.
Yeah. It's in the middle of the rainforest. Sleeping Giant. I think that's the name. In Belize. And I'm probably sitting with Dave Grohl. But Dave Grohl, he's always just been someone that I respect from a being a good person standpoint. I mean, he's had a heck of a journey through life and his past bands, and but just the way he goes about his outlook on life, and he treats everybody equally. You know, he loves his fans. He pulls them up on stage all the time, sometimes at their own expense, but no, he just seems, this the way he handles himself and his outlook on life. And I don't know, I just saw just recently he had a YouTube battle with a little girl drumming. And it is one of the best things. I watch it and it, like, I want to tear up a little bit because I have a little girl now. And I'm just like, oh. So for someone to take, yeah, I'm talking about you. Yeah. But for him to take time out of his busy day, I'm sure, to drum battle with a little girl on the internet. I'm a big fan.
All right, Kristen, you're going to the mountains.
Does it have to be someone famous?
No. No, anybody.
It can be like a made-up TV character you just want to hang out with.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, honestly, because it was funny. I was sitting down in the nursery at church this morning in between services, and I was literally just holding my daughter going, I'm ready for Thanksgiving break when I can just spend a whole week of snuggles. And so right now, like, I would just go and sit with her. That's where I'm at.
Way to make me sound bad.
I'm sorry. I mean,
not at all.
I would love to go and, like, talk with an author or something sometimes. Like, I've been really into Eric Larson recently. But right now, I just kind of want to get my snuggles in while she's still little because she's growing so fast.
That's a teacher's pet answer.
That's a perfect answer. It's nice. Yes,
there's right or wrong answer.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Every day I look at her and she's getting bigger and bigger. I'm like, no, stop, please.
You're getting so big.
Well, guys, thank you so much. And Adeline, thank you so much for letting us have your parents for just a little bit.
Yes.
And we are so appreciative of you guys, and we love you. We just pray nothing but the best over you.
Wow. What a beautiful story. I'm so grateful and thankful that God allowed us to be just a small part in that journey with them, to, you know, walk beside them and pray with them and support them. And now get to cuddle that sweet baby. It's a true honor that we were able to do that. And their story, there's so much there of walking through grieving, of losing a child, and walking through that together as a couple. Mm-hmm. So proud of them of doing that together. And
they talked about holding each other up.
Exactly, because that's what unity looks like. When one is down, the other can lift the other up. And I just think that's beautiful when it works like that. Then there was growth in their faith, mm-hmm, as they waited, because God's always working in the waiting, and that's hard to see and realize, but he is. And often when you look back, that's when you see where he was working while you're waiting.
Yeah.
And so that was phenomenal. And obviously, you know, this family being brought together and lives being changed because of it. It's just a beautiful thing.
And then the impact that goes forward, as they were talking to other couples about adoption, who's been through a very similar situation, and how God uses that.
Yeah.
Uses what they went through to help someone else.
Exactly.
I'm just happy I get to hold the little one. I mean, she's just precious.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, us guys, we kind of turn into mush when we have a little baby.
Yeah, you know, you especially do. Especially if it's a little girl.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But and I wasn't kidding. You know, I asked him, did he look at her pinky, because he was wrapped around it, because it's for sure happening. But it usually happens to us dads of girls. That's why we always say girl dad. So anyway, it was a beautiful story. It was wonderful. We are so happy that they were willing to share with you. And we hope that if anything you take out of this, it is, if you find yourself in a similar situation, have faith and stay strong and lean on God while you wait.
Absolutely.
So today's verse, I think, really goes with this. It's Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Psalm 130, verse 5. Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, either today, tonight, tomorrow, whenever it is for you, have a great day.
That's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and hit subscribe wherever you listen to our podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Patio Talk Pod. Please check us out as well on our website, patiotalkpod.net. And if you like what you hear and would like to support the show, click on that cute little button in the show notes that says Buy Us a Coffee. Thanks for listening.